radio and fire up. Are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hop away with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. That smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
It's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
They say, Chris, that it's God's way of telling you you're earning too much money.
What is, Stephen?
They say that it was the plaything of models and rock stars.
Who says this, Stephen?
They say many things about the devil's dandruff. And I don't know if it's all true or not, because if I could say to you, if you've got too much money and this is God's way of telling you that you're dabbling in something you shouldn't be dabbling in because you're living in a life of excess, last look at the books. What were we earning here at Fire Up?
To the nearest... 1,000?
Yes.
Zero.
Zero. That counts us out of this horrible escapade, this scourge that's taken over rugby league in the last week. And dare I say, look, I don't know about you, but DJs, we're a poorly paid lot, you know. We've been struggling. We've been bowl in hand on the street looking for a bit of extra spare cash. So far be it from us to have any sort of excess, you know, expenditure to dabble in what... Blow?
Well, I didn't want to blow this introduction, that's for sure. But, I know what you're saying about DJs, because the democratization of the idiom by technology has meant that, like, I'm a DJ.
Yes.
You're a DJ.
Yes.
Bronco Reg is a DJ.
Yes.
So no wonder you in what we would call the lower, I think, using budget speak.
Yes.
Not to put too fine a line on it. That you're in the lower socioeconomic strata,
yes,
of society.
If we could look at it in the light, this scourge that we're talking about, the rugby league community is completely awash in, is societal, and I think society is to blame. I mean, they say that if you test every banknote in this country, every second banknote is covered in what they now call booger sugar.
Right.
And if I dare want to point the finger, far be it for me to point the finger at rugby league players, who, yes, some of them are paid well, many of them aren't, many of them are struggling.
Most of them are sort of on DJ money.
Exactly. So I wouldn't hesitate to say bankers.
Bankers would be... have you ever actually held a $100 note?
Only when I work for a banker.
That's right.
That's how they pay you, Chris.
That's right, right. And apparently there are... billions of these things in circulation. Yes. Bronco Reg has got one, of course.
Yes, of course.
Because he plays in a sort of a higher strata than we do.
And he's a business supporter.
And he's not a flake like you and me.
No, he's not. No. He didn't come down in the last snowfall.
He certainly didn't. Didn't. But...
So bankers is an obvious target, really. Come on now. If Sterlo or Kendi or anybody want to get on their high horse, go after the bankers.
Politicians. Test the crap out of them.
Yeah, I know that they're not paid the same as, say, board directors or CEOs of chairmen of companies, but they're paid a fairly healthy whack, aren't they? Probably, what, 4 or 5 times over the average wage?
At least.
Okay.
At least. I'd sort of look at 10 to 12. And, I mean, I guess you're talking here also about sort of people in the entertainment field who are not at DJ level. Here we're talking, you know, rock and roll stars.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, this... you know, this, the Devil's Dandruff was the province of models and rock stars in the many, you know, 20, 30 years ago. You know, we always said Mick Jagger, David Bowie, you know, J.J. Cale. The list goes on and on and on, as we know. Kate Moss, downfall, you know. But somehow it's crept into mainstream, upper level. They used to call it the Eastern Suburbs Scourge, didn't they?
That's right. And you're an inner city...
dweller.
Dude,
yes.
If I can say that.
Yes.
And the word gentrification means something to you?
Yes.
What used to be not desired is now the most desirable locales within a particular city?
Who doesn't want to live in an electricity substation slum in the back of Mascot? I ask you, Chris.
Rosebery.
Without a view.
Rosebery is the new Vaucluse.
Exactly.
Right. And so therefore, this gentrification process means that people who are aspiring to climb to these higher levels transform themselves by adopting the traipses and traps of what old money bankers, politicians, celebrities do with new money, rugby league.
Rugby league. But ahead of that, I'd still point to real estate agents driving BMWs and wearing power suits. Far be it for me to pick any particular one. But really, real estate. Gambling moguls.
The Macau Mafia.
Mining magnates. I mean,
absolutely.
Really, you know, the list goes on and on and on, but there's a far greater target than rugby league players, and the rugby league community has been, you know, poorly tarnished this week by a couple of, you know, episodes, I suppose, caught on camera and caught by dogs and police, etc., etc.
All in isolation, a non-story.
Non-story.
But because of the coincidence of the events and the cross-generational... cross-functional pantheon of people wrapped up in it, we feel obliged to report and analyse, even though you and I, though, in fairness, you've spent a bit of time in nightclubs.
I have done my research, Chris, and but in my day, back in my day, there were no dogs running around in nightclubs, you know.
Sure.
There were no CCTV cameras, there was no air conditioning in my day. You could smoke in a club.
And probably no drugs in,
no
in
drugs
your, your day, because
no,
it was
no.
It was more, it was about the music.
Of course it was.
It was about the sense of community.
Yes, it was Oliver Cheatham and, you know, Patrice Rushen and James Brown and, you know, classic stuff.
And Australia being isolated island nation sort of takes trends a little while to come from overseas shores.
You can read an article in Rolling Stone magazine and read about Rod Stewart's lavish lifestyle in the Riviera and think, oh my God, that sounds great.
But
we didn't live it.
But you weren't living it.
No, we weren't living it.
But because of these incidents, we feel obligated to report and analyse this morning, even though we don't have, shall I say, enormous direct experience of the culture or wouldn't be particularly connected.
Enormous, would you say?
I'd say we probably don't have enormous
experience.
Oh, no, we
don't. Well, I was going to say, Chris, you're known as one of the great polymaths of Sydney.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes, and, you know, many a club has been formed around communities, the Musicians Club and Tattersalls and, the, you know, the Metal Workers Club. The Polymath Club. If I was to go on a night out with you to the Polymath Club...
Well, there's no such thing, but are you familiar with a little organisation called Mensa Steam?
Yeah, I am, yes.
I'd like to bring you along.
I've been knocking every week.
I'd love to include you. But, you know, as in the great game of rugby league, there are rules and standards and policies and procedures.
Don't you mean there's a line that I have to get over?
Look, you can't get any shortcuts when you're trying to get that line established.
Right.
You know, you've got to draw that line somewhere.
Okay, right.
But if we did go out for a night,
it'd
be a wide-ranging conversation. Yes. It'd be politics, it'd be the arts, it'd be philosophy, the metaphysical reasons of life, but also...
administration, finance, all that sort of stuff.
Definitely a lot of the...
Def Leppard.
Of course.
Japanese electronic pop. Prog rock.
we do Yellow Magic Orchestra nights.
You do?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do, you know. Am I Hosono? Am I Takahashi? Am I Sakamoto? That is a discussion, but some of the members do like to explore... Can I say alternative realities?
Okay. I'm assuming, though, this alternative reality doesn't include dwarfs with bowls on their heads.
Well, so you were at the Queen launch of the jazz album in Montreux, I believe.
Assuming the Polymath Society does not indulge in that sort of activity.
Only in virtual reality.
Right.
So we'll strap on the goggles and suddenly we're back with Queen in the 80s.
So you could be back there with Jimi Hendrix and 12 naked African-American ladies and a couple of white ones.
At Electric Ladyland Studios.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You could be back there with Iggy Pop and Bowie in Berlin when they were trying to give the damn stiff after leaving Los Angeles, and you could still feel it.
You can get in the back of the limo with David Bowie in 1976 and saying, there's a fly in my milk.
Technology is amazing. What about you could be looking up the deviated septum of Stevie Nicks
it's
with the rest of Fleetwood Mac at the backstage trying to get on stage.
I think Stevie's the first to say it wasn't a deviated septum, it was a dismantled septum.
And what about her roadie?
What is it, Studio City? We're there making rumours.
Yes, yeah, making rumours, yeah. You could be following her roadie in 3D, or, Technicolor.
Or, courtesy of these goggles and our little Mensa meeting, the polymath meeting, we can be having a night out in the town with a modern rugby league player.
Wow.
And things happen. Yeah. Things get a little crazy. So, they get a little wild.
So to the working man out there, the man who actually does pick up your garbage, Chris, and the man who does, I don't know.
You mean like listening to this show?
Yes. The man who uses the leaf blower in the street.
Or good, honest work.
Good, honest work. Would they now be looking and thinking, wow, the allure of rugby league and the community, and I can watch it on 3D? As opposed to, in my day, it was Frank Zappa's antics in the Valley or something, you know?
Yeah. You get it on your PlayStation.
Okay, so it is entertainment. And so rugby league players are just fulfilling their contractual duties, so to speak.
The quicker we accept that sport is now entertainment,
this
explains what's happened in rugby league recently, is that once you're in the entertainment business, you've got to assume the trappings of the entertainment business. And if that means a little bit of Chuck Norris or Charlie or Lois Lane is involved,
yes, why not?
So be it,
okay.
Why does everybody get upset? It's expected of these guys.
Yeah, you expect the white lady to come in.
And not just for the funeral.
And how would she be marching, Chris? In a Bolivian fashion?
Or in a Colombian way?
Or Peruvian? Yeah. Now the Mexicans are in on it. For goodness sakes.
They're all on their horns playing the Tijuana toot.
Yeah. Now, where I'd really like to be, if I could have a 3D experience, is one of the bungalows at the Hollywood Hotel with John Belushi, Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
Hey? Randy Newman, John Lennon.
Randy Newman, really?
Come on.
I've got Harry Nilsson involved.
Harry Nilsson, then.
But Randy Newman?
Okay, Harry Nilsson, same.
No wonder he ended up doing Toy Story.
I need a polymath occasionally just to help me out.
The Hollywood vampires, Stephen. The Hollywood vampires.
Look, I just hope it doesn't delve into that state. A movie left a scar, and I'm not talking Tony Montana here. A movie left us, it scarred my brain when I watched Chuck Norris. It might have been Invasion USA or something. And he banged the back of somebody's head who was using a steel pipe as an apparatus. Hope they don't use that in Canberra, Chris. I hope that's not the method. I hope there's nobody wannabe Chuck Norris is lying in the dark corners ready to bang their head down.
It's interesting, though. You mentioned Canberra. I think, you know, as we deep dive into the various incidents, I think we'll be able to draw a few, again, dare I say it, lines that connect Canberra,
so it's not
big
just,
business.
Yes.
Is rugby league here just a pawn in a vain attempt to try and be seen as entertainers?
Right.
They've been caught up in something that's bigger
so
than they
So
it's
not just Sin City.
No.
Not just Sin City.
No, it's a web.
Okay, and we're talking about it's moving from the upper echelon, we think, to the middle class economies and perhaps lower.
Yep.
Just if I could give a backstory here, because I know the lines are going crazy here, and if you'd like to text 0409...
plus the telephone's ringing as well.
945, if you've got any information on this, the scourge that is. The history of this scourge in this city, we talk about rock stars and models and international stuff, but in Sin City itself, in the Emerald City, if I could go back, we often hear about stories about the ivy, icebergs.
Has ever a club been better named?
Sapphire Room.
The Cauldron.
The Cauldron. Now we're talking. Benny's.
Your old stomping ground, Rogues.
Rogues. Yes. So it was the eastern suburb of Scourge originally. That's where the virus started, was it? Spreading far and wide.
It starts at the upper echelons of society, and then the sugar just gets dispensed to the proles as the conspiracy continues.
We'll be back in just a moment.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up?
Get too high, baby.
Turned you on.
You really turned me on and on.
Could you come down?
My temperature is rising.
When the thrill is gone.
No, I don't want you to go. A street kid gets arrested. Gonna do some time. He got out 3 years from now just to commit more crime. A businessman is caught with 24 kilos. He's out on bail and out of jail, and that's the way it goes.
Freeze! Rock! Freeze! Rock! Freeze! Rock! Freeze! Rock!
Get high.
chasing dreams of passion.
There was a beautiful sense of irony about that song, wasn't there, Chris? Melly Mel, telling you like it is and warning you of the dangers. But making it sound so, so attractive and seductive. It's, white lines.
Yeah.
Don't do it, baby.
It was like a razor-sharp wit involved in the song. And, I mean, don't push me, I'm getting close to the edge.
Yeah. But, as in great rock and roll fashion, we know the real story was that they were absolutely just in a pit, a mire of cocaine frenzy in the studio at the time, weren't they? Whilst warning the kiddies not to do it.
So what they did was they anticipated that they'd get arrested and have to do community service.
Right.
So they recorded they made the record to be able to publish the "Don't Do It" message straight away. So it was seamless.
Yes.
You know, whilst you're committing the crime, you're already atoning for the sins of the crime.
Right. It's never hurt a career though, Boy George. Hello.
The heroin period got Boy George set up for his solo career because he was going, how do I get out of Culture Club? It's too twee, it's too kiddie, it's too pop. I almost knocked myself out with a bit of hammer and then I've got a career.
Instantly read credibility, bam, just like that.
If you don't have the press outside your house at some stage in your rock and roll career, you're finished.
Now, take me on a journey, Sean Kenny Dowell.
Well, you know, it was
SKD.
It was an innocuous beginning to the Rep Round weekend where on...
Oh, it was Rep Round, was it?
It was Rep
Round. It wasn't Rap Round. No. Rep Round. Okay.
There was some football being played.
Yeah.
So, Kenny Dowell, almost a non-story, was allegedly arrested in possession of cocaine at the Ivy nightclub.
What?
Yes.
What?
At the Ivy. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Always say if it was Taronga Zoo, it might have been a story.
There's a story.
But Sean, of course, has been on the front foot, as has been well reported in the press. He went and got a urine test straight away.
Right.
Probably had his own kit with him.
Yes.
The clinic didn't have blood tests, but he was prepared to take that. And he's put his hand up and he said...
The clinic didn't have a blood
test? No, they could do urine, because I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
You know, so skeleton stuff.
What sort of professional outfit is this?
I know. Where is healthcare in this city?
This is the biggest city in the country,
it's
right?
It's in decline, because if we got a scourge, we need the health services to deal with it.
If it was the plague, what would we be doing about it? We'd be doing something about it, wouldn't we?
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
So he's also offered to do the hair follicle test.
And, the hair follicle.
And kids, take notice of this. Apparently they can detect usage up to 90 days after the event.
Yes.
Because he wants to say, I've not done the substance concern. Look, unfortunately, as has been pointed out to Sean, he's been charged with possession.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a different thing. And a lot of people have already pointed out in social media that there's somewhat of an irony of Sean Kenny Dowell being charged being in possession because he's known for having trouble to hang on to the pill.
Yes, he has, the slippery pill.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting proposition, isn't it? He likes to carry it around with him, and maybe that just gives him a thrill. It's the anticipation, but he doesn't actually take it.
Look, I mean, again...
Is that a thing?
I'm going off medical journals.
Of course.
But my understanding is the buzz is temporary and somewhat ephemeral.
The buzz of what?
The substances that are involved.
Snowflake.
Is it the gack they call it or something like that?
Yes, the rack, yes. The nose candy.
The sugar.
The yee-yo.
Yeah, the flake. Yeah,
the kitty litter. The lady, the white lady.
The South American marching powder.
The Peruvian dancing dust. the champagne.
Yeah.
The Belushi.
Exactly. That,
Okay, so he likes to hang onto it in his pocket, right?
Yeah, a bit of Chuck Norris.
And it's
because, let's face it, rugby league players, they're young men, they're risk takers.
They're, by nature.
It's the danger of apprehension rather than the ephemeral buzz, I believe. Yeah. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that the thrill you get is just carting the stuff around.
Yes.
You know.
The hunt, the deception.
It's like romance, isn't it? It's always the chase.
The
exposition,
thrill.
Not so much.
Well, imagine if you had literally, how many football teams in rugby league?
In the NRL, 16.
Yes. So imagine you have 16 teams.
If rep round, I think we're looking at 10. But anyway.
Yes, all made up of journeymen, tradesmen who don't take a risk. No Jonathan Thurstons, no Cooper Cronks, no Josh Dugans, no Sean Kenny Dowells. Imagine that. How dull would that be?
Very, very dull.
Okay, so carry on. So Sean's then carrying... So nothing in... Dare I say, Chris, this brings to mind, police enforcement, and conspiracies about collection of penalty rates and fines, etc. They can do detection of number plates anywhere, anytime now.
I myself have experienced that.
What if they bring in like hair follicle detection, like CCTV cameras? So every time you walk through a railway station or an airport, boom, you go off.
Look, I tell you what, it certainly changes your attitude about a visit to the hairdresser, doesn't it?
Sure it does.
You know, I've actually been wondering. I've been going to hairdresser lately, and you know when they normally sweep up after. They've actually been taking some of the cuttings and putting them into resealable bags and labelling them. And I just thought, the guy's a collector or something, but now there's something more insidious about this.
It used to be the mounds of room carpet. And now it's your hair follicles. And that's why there's so many bald men wandering around the streets these days, correct?
It's safer.
It's much safer. It's a safer world. Nothing goes bing.
And by bald, we're meaning all over bald.
All over bald.
Taking no
shave,
risks.
Shave. And I'd say like an acid wash as well, just to make sure there's no substances at all that they can actually... Well, no follicles, really.
Isn't it interesting that how the economy works? Yeah. You have a crackdown on the drug economy and you have related services like hair removal going through the roof.
Look, rugby league is good for business.
It's good for business.
It's good for New South Wales. It's good for Sydney, you know, and all the attendant dramas that go with it.
Though, I tell you what, though, something that we were reflecting on a little bit before we came on the show, I'm wondering in those upper stratas of society how they feel, the bankers, the real estate agents, the captains of industry, the real estate moguls, the casino moguls, about rugby league players entering their citadel. Is this meaning that those dealers in flake are quavering in their boots because it's not going to be as saleable? Because they're going, oh, if the rugby league guys are into it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it used to be the province of
I
rugby union, didn't it?
I see what you're saying, but I think that from what I understand from the medical journals, Chris, that the power the power of the yo-yo, the power of Lovers Lane, just it goes beyond all that. It knows no demarcation, no boundaries, no social boundaries, no...
The power of the sea.
The power of the sea, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. So this is just expanding the economy generally.
Yeah. Now, does this also buy into the idea that there's talk that the great moguls, is it the Reinhardt, the Lowy,
Twiggy Forrest?
Packer. No, the ones that have got Channel 10 in their midst.
Oh, right. the Murdochs.
Yeah, all of them. Mm. They're talking about turning into just a rugby league channel free to wear, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Well, I mean,
come on now, Chris.
Benny Elias has been on the front foot suggesting that the NRL should purchase Channel 10.
There you go.
And fit it for their purposes.
Yeah, just flood the bloody networks with all this stuff, dramas day and night, you know.
Flooding being the operative word.
Now, let's get back to the details here. Yes. The nuts and bolts. Kenny Dowell, he was carrying a little baggy, Ivy, George Street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it a sweep by police? Was it dogs? Was it he just dropped it on the floor? What happened?
Well, I'm hearing he was noticed by security.
Acting strangely.
And this is probably the most interesting part of the story, that the Ivy security then contacted the authorities while keeping Kenny Dowell in their midst in order for the police to be involved.
Under lock and key, something.
Yeah, so this wasn't a direct police line. Mm. This was a security detail. Yeah, so that's interesting.
That's interesting.
And I think, you know, the proprietors of those establishments are sending out a strong message
full
to the community.
Full credit to them, Chris.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. You know, don't bring that stuff into our establishments. No, it's not our go, Stephen,
is
what they're saying.
It's not their go. Even though, if you believe the evidence, every second person in Sydney's got some on them.
Bit of gutter glitter?
Gutter glitter?
I tell you what, they've been testing the sewerage. If they actually just do those little traps in the lane out the back of the Ivy,
did you know that London has the highest concentration of cocaine in its plumbing water system?
Sorry, highest concentration of what did you say? What word did you use?
Ooh, fizzwiz.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha. Now we're talking.
So we're not sure exactly the details, whether it was a dog or whether it was the cameras, but you think the security spotted some strange behaviour?
Some eagle eyes.
And then declared himself...
Because if you saw a bunch of rugby league players out at the Ivy nightclub, you'd take notice.
I think you would.
They're celebrities.
They're bigger. They're celebrities.
They're entertainers.
Yeah, they're entertainers, yes. And then enter Chris Murphy.
Yes. The legal
people's
position.
Champion.
The people's champion.
Yeah.
But as I said, there is a difference between consumption and possession, and that will play out. And Sean Kenny Dowell's been stood down, and definitely from the Sydney Roosters. Strong stand from the Bondi team.
Okay.
Bit of experience in the area, I guess.
My client has been subjected to many random tests in his substantial playing career. He has never broken the rules in this area of chemicals or prohibited substances. And after he's arrested, my client immediately volunteered for and underwent a medical test of his urine. It's pretty stuff, really, isn't it? So far, he's looking good. Second incident, please, Chris. Where are we now?
Friday night. Former Olympian basketballer Sidney King and current, well, stood down, but was chairman of the Cronulla Sharks.
Okay. Cronulla Sharks is the same team that had the darkest day in history, Asada, like put their filter straight over them and say, you're in trouble?
I was going to say, they've got a little bit of form.
Bit of form.
You know, there's been the Asada issues. There's, of course, the sad loss of Ben Barber, who had a second strike under
Mad
the NRL.
Monday.
He's just been relieved of his position at Toulon Rugby Union, having played 96 minutes.
Well, I believe that since this whole episode's blown up, and Benny was in France somewhere, correct?
Correct.
Correct. He's gone, this is too good. This is too good. So I just thought it was Mad Monday. Now it's Mad May.
Mad May, exactly.
I'm coming back. Let
it's
me
Christmas
back.
And, May.
And he's lowering his price by the minute, right? He just wants in.
He'll play for rookie money.
Yeah.
And can you believe that I believe that Flano has already said out of his dark, dank basement that we've moved on from Ben Buck. Well, he got you a premiership, Shane.
Yes.
What about a bit of loyalty?
And so it's Christmas in May for Benny.
That's right.
And for all of us, really.
Right. Okay. So, and I think Damien Keogh was front and centre in all that. You know, that's not who we are.
Right.
And now he's saying that's not who I am because of a long lunch. And that's, yet again, there's a warning sign.
And we often, you know, we often sort of unfairly tarnish, you know, the eastern suburbs, you know, establishments like the high end. But Woolloomooloo Bay is a dangerous area for everybody, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether they're John Singleton or Russell Crowe, whoever. There's
Lawsy.
Trouble. Lawsy. You get it, as soon as you do the long lunch in Woolloomooloo,
Adley.
You're in trouble, right? Adley?
I tell you what, if you go to the Finger Wharf, there's a high chance you'll get fingered.
Talking of risk-taking. Okay, so where does he start?
Again, high-profile Finger Wharf alarm bells.
Yes.
But I think there's a sort of, I don't know, a tacit understanding that you're not going to see any pooches on tethers wandering up and down the Finger Wharf. There's a sort of a detente there. So you're on fairly solid ground when you go for,
when you say pooches, you mean dog pooches.
They're the ones.
Right, you don't mean like, you know, dog friends to, you know, rugby league players.
No, no, no.
No, okay,
no, no.
Okay.
No, 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 not at all.
No.
I'm talking the canine variety.
Right,
and,
okay.
And I think when you start at Kingsley's Steakhouse, as Damien did, you're probably feeling reasonably secure.
So a great big 400-gram steak, some chips.
Gram being the operative word.
Did I say gram?
Did
I?
I think you're making 400 grams. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Very thin line-cut chips, right?
shoestring.
Yeah.
and they're so well cooked that when they dissolve in your mouth, it's just like soft powder.
Soft powder.
Yeah.
A sprinkling of salt on top.
A little sprinkling of sugar.
So he starts at Kingsley. He's probably had a drink, maybe. I'm assuming here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. And we're only reporting the news, Stephen. We're not casting aspersions on anyone. We're just reporting the news.
So he leaves Kingsley.
Tilbury.
Where does it? Tilbury.
Went to the Tilbury.
The Tilbury.
Probably looking for a bit of that political cabaret they're known to put on there from time to time.
That's right. It was the home of musical theatre for many years, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Yes. And then sort of carried on. So we're probably talking now, what, 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon?
Well, I think we're moving into the
evening.
The evening hours, yeah. Because long lunch means long lunch.
Gee whiz, he's got a fair bit of give and take in his life to be able to get away with that long a lunch, hasn't he?
I think when you're running Hoyts, you've dragged the Sharks out of the mire and you've been to 3 Olympics, you're entitled to a long lunch. It's like a human right, really.
A bit of steam let off. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then what happens next?
Bell's Hotel.
Now, that is not quite the salubrious establishment that we come to expect from these people, is it?
It's downsizing, if I can use that word.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, as what you want from your community leaders, you want a little bit of amongst the people.
Right, okay.
You know, climb off the rarefied Finger Wharf into mainstream society.
So he's in the Bells with some friends, and this is where it gets interesting.
Some mates.
Some mates, right, okay. And look, law enforcement in this country.
We need more of it.
We absolutely do, Chris. It's that people have been getting away with murder for years, you know. Got to get tough on crime, right? And really, it's great to see our dollars, our tax dollars going into actually sort of exposing the good work that the police are doing.
Yes.
There was a documentary team.
The ABC.
Okay.
that bunch of lefties.
Yes, that, yeah. they were following the police, apparently, down in the loo.
Making a documentary, which I think is just so... I think all great documentaries start out about being about one thing and they end up about being another thing.
Yes.
And this one, beautifully titled, Keeping Australia Safe.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah. I wonder how you came up with that title.
Well,
and really, it's not much of a documentary if they don't catch anybody, right?
That's right.
So you've got to catch somebody.
That's right. And you've got to work out how you're keeping Australia safe from.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And to me, if I want to keep Australia safe, I'm putting a detail of 5 police officers and a drug detection dog into Woolloomooloo pubs.
Yeah, yeah. Not you know, the multitude of men who are bashing women around the country, keeping those ladies safe. Dare I get a bit serious there?
Yeah, that's you know, you've got priorities, Stephen.
I have indeed.
You got to say, if you're going to get publicity for what you're doing, what's going to sell papers?
Yes.
What's the thing that we should be most fearful of?
Yes.
The thing that parents should be most worried about their kids.
And I suppose there are probably issues about knocking on doors and saying, we've got a camera crew, can we just come in and watch you while you know, have a go at your wife?
Yeah, sure, that's a bit unlikely.
No,
yeah.
But so they know these places have got CCTV anyway, don't they? They probably sort of had
This is a very interesting point because it'll come up in the third incident as well. Do we as a community actually understand how observed we are? I mean, you and I probably feel pretty relaxed about what we're doing and what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
But I have a look up and there's a little mirror ball in this studio.
Yeah.
And I'm not now completely confident, given what we're involved in here.
Yes, yes.
But there isn't a little CCTV camera.
Yeah.
So, Bronco Reg, if you just get a towel and possibly
quit that. Pick your nose.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not so sure that when I've walked into pubs, I immediately assume it's all on camera.
Right.
Turns out it is.
Right. So I would hazard a guess here and say that the ABC probably were fully aware that they probably preemptively just checked out the location first and said, let's have a look. The lighting, where the cameras. Because we might need this footage later. It'll all add up to, you know, the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. Ratings.
And dogs. Were there dogs?
There was one dog.
One dog. Okay. What happened next?
Look, I think as Herald journalist Andrew Webster put it, he said he'd do what most people would do in that situation. He froze.
Right.
And then he fidgeted.
Yes.
He panicked. He headed for the bathroom.
Right.
He was intercepted.
Intercepted. Damn dogs.
Allegedly held in possession of an illegal substance and will be resolving itself in the courts.
Yeah, but it's not his go.
No. Former alumni of the show, Brett Oaten, pointed out that Damien gave his version, the upmarket version of Not My Go. He said, no, I don't have a drug problem. People who know me know that this isn't me. It's not what I'm about.
Right. So it wasn't him on the night.
No, no. And you know, it was pretty tough watching him do a press conference in a suburban park in aviator shades. And again, it was Brett Oaten who said, Damien Kerr, I don't have a drug problem. I have a Top Gun problem.
We're back in just a moment.
Well, I was working on my farm about 1982, pulling up some corn and a little carrot, too. Do low flying aeroplanes about 100 feet high. Dropped a bunch of bales or something and some hit me in the eye. So I cut a bale open and man, was I surprised. A bunch of large-sized baggies and big white rocks inside. So I took a little sample of my crazy brother Joe. He sniffed it up and kicked his heels and said, Horton, that's some blow. Of cocaine falling from the flying plane. I don't know who done dropped them, but I think I'm just the same. Bales of cocaine falling like a pouring rain. My life changed completely by the low flying plane. Saddle back to Texas in a low flying plane. Bales of cocaine falling from the flying plane. I don't know who done dropped them, but I think I'm just the same. Bales of cocaine falling like a pouring rain. Completely
72 hours of Razzle, 72 hours of Paddington Puff, 72 hours of Randwick Rack. Episode 3, please, Chris.
So, as I have to remind you, Stephen, it was Rep Round.
It was. How do they bugger up Rep Round?
They bugger it up,
we'll get to that in a minute, okay.
And there was a doubleheader. Yes. Down to GIO Stadium in the cool climes of Canberra. Australia versus New Zealand, the Gillaroos versus the Kiwi Ferns, followed by the Kangaroos versus the Kiwis.
Yes.
Both wins for Australia, in case you missed the result. And
fine football on display by Australia.
Magnificent.
Mm. Magnificent.
First half, anyway. Mal Meninga, genius.
Genius.
And anyway, as far as the Kiwis were concerned, there was a post-match dinner with family and friends, very convivial, and they're grown men, according to Coach David Kidwell. I don't need to curfew these kids.
They're grown men.
They can be responsible. Well, a couple of the players decided to kick on.
Yes.
Long story cut short, there was an incident outside Cube nightclub in Canberra.
Well, where did they start the night? We don't know.
Well, at the dinner with family and friends.
And that went until what? Not what? Midnight?
Probably.
Gee whiz.
At best. I mean, the game finishes around about 9:45. I'd say it probably runs a little bit later
than
that.
Late dinner.
Yeah, there's probably a special thing set up at one of the better restaurants.
Well, they are the new rock stars. They live life the way they want to, don't they?
And look, I might be right in saying you might have been down in Canberra at the time.
Well, I was, Chris. I was there.
So, Cube nightclub?
Cube. I'd not...
Didn't have a post-match gig there, did you?
No. Well, I did for a while. I had a bit of a look. I can't stay up late.
Right.
You know, it's early risers for me, and I'm part of the proletariat, Chris. I'm not in that wage bracket that can stay out till that hour of the morning.
Well, there's probably a little bit of discussion that's been going on this morning about a technique that you could employ that would keep you up late.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, it turned out we're at 5:10 in the morning.
And
again, Canberra, being, you know, the home of ASIO,
yes,
the place is awash in CCTV.
Surveillance, yes.
You know, they try all the new technologies.
Yes.
So the place is awash in CCTV footage.
And Fusion is an inclusive nightclub.
No, no, you're thinking there of Fusion as the Sharks nightclub. This is Cube.
Oh, Cube.
Yeah, I know they all blur.
Right.
So and you've been in as many as you have.
Fusion is definitely not an inclusive nightclub. It's not all colours of the rainbow. But Cube is, apparently.
Cube is very inclusive.
Canberra.
Yep.
Canberra's very progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all are welcome.
Yes.
And at 5:10 in the morning on the CCTV footage in the public mall to which Cube abuts or is adjacent
attached,
to.
Yes. Butts onto.
A 45-year-old male is observed putting two lines of a powdery substance.
A powdery substance.
And this is why they've made the iPhones bigger.
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, so many uses.
Yeah. Steve Jobs didn't see that, did he?
Whoever...
Who was the genius? Was it Cookie?
He's left a legacy, though. Yeah. I think it was a Wozniak thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so he's putting two lines of Wozniak on the iPhone.
Wozniak, yes.
And two males are observed inhaling with banknotes. I don't know. Suddenly in all these stories, it's banknotes. I've just used banknote. To hear it referred to as money.
Money.
Got any cash?
Yeah.
But now it's a banknote.
Yeah.
It feels $100
notes, I assume.
It feels very Scarface.
Yes.
Well, it's Canberra. Fresh from the mint.
Fresh from the mint.
You know, beautiful, clean delivery system.
Smell of money in the morning.
Yeah.
Banknotes.
Tremendous.
Tremendous.
And said individuals...
And it was the morning.
It very much was the morning. Said individual has been subsequently apprehended by the authorities.
Yes.
And it's come to light that the two individuals... observed ingesting, inhaling, absorbing, whatever you like to say.
Yes.
Kiwi captain Jesse Bromwich.
Kiwi captain.
Who plays for, get this, the Melbourne Storms.
Yeah, doesn't that blow you out of the water, Chris?
And Kevin Proctor, who used to play for, get this, the Melbourne Storms. And then goes to, get this, the Gold Coast Titans.
Who have had history.
Oh, they've had form.
Form.
Yeah, big form.
Yeah.
It turns out that they were the two individuals involved. When pressed, they've said, we're not denying it. We can't deny it. We just don't remember it because we were too drunk.
Love it.
And there's been consequences, Stephen. Yes, there's been consequences. And there's been so much talk in the public arena about what to do about this.
Yes. It's something, though, that they're judge and jury. But let's have a listen, shall we?
Yeah, the thing that we need to talk about is that we do enough education. We as players understand what the rights and wrongs when it comes to gambling, drugs, all those things. But the thing is, we're not in a game to catch and ridicule people. We're in a game to make people better players, make people better people. So the system we got in place, I think, is accurate. I think the second offence, like Ben Barber, he's now sitting on the other side of the world, regretting exactly what he did. If we do that the first time, we're going to lose young people in this game. And our game has a greater responsibility to that. And we as players have a greater responsibility to then just play the game of football as well.
So
we need to adhere to the rules, and it's the individuals that's going to get caught up.
But I think that whilst the seminars and stuff that the NRL put on, they are great. But once it's done, then that's it for the 12 months. And there's nothing there to continue to support that. And I think, mate, with where we're heading, and I know you don't like society, but where we're heading, we need to continue to try and evolve that and give more to the younger guys.
Maybe I'm getting old and cranky, but...
Maybe he's getting old and cranky. Well, first of all, only one man, Cooper Cronk, could talk about making people better people, as opposed to we play footy and we want to entertain people with footy and talk about responsibility not once but five times. And then only Mick Ennis could go, it's somebody else's fault. We get the lessons once a year and it's not enough. And then Sterling.
And there's Sterling.
Who has no hair, may I remind you all.
That's a very, very, very good point.
Yes.
And look at, you know, people say, oh, with modern mass media saturation, generations can't distinguish themselves. Mm. Well, that's a very, very fine example of two generations completely distinguished around this issue.
Yeah.
And look, you know, I found myself, and this really... really has rattled me. I've sort of found myself kind of agreeing with Cooper Cronk and Michael Ennis,
yes,
which I thought would never happen.
Well, that's because you're under 40, Chris. Yes. If you're over 40, you'd be going for law enforcement and security issues and jail the buggers, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I was really starting to come around to their way of thinking until I read Peter Fitzsimons' article.
Oh, what did he have to say? There's genius.
He said, this is really comparatively, it's a small minor issue. Alcohol is 1,000 times worse than the damage it wreaks society. He said, and this shows how out of touch. He said, when the NRL looks at its so-called atrocity generator, don't you know, Peter, it's the atrocity meter?
Yes.
Don't you listen?
Not a generator.
But once I heard that Fitzsimons was on board with we've got the system pretty much right with the one strike policy being behind closed doors and I thought, it's Cooper and Ennis. I'm in the Sterling camp. Yeah. And let me tell you, the Sterling camp, they're queuing up.
Yeah.
Darius Boyd, Mal Meninga's just saying, ban him for life.
Yes.
Ban him for life.
Look, I'd go one further, Chris. Public execution or flogging at minimum.
I was going to go stoning first.
Stoning. Look, just start with a bag of tomatoes.
Yep.
Sling them up, you know, put them in a loincloth.
Yep.
And just bring in the tomatoes and let us rip. Have some fun.
I agree with you, Stephen.
Shaming is a great thing. It's an Aussie tradition, really.
100%. Mal Meninga, soft on drugs.
Yeah.
You know, life ban, not enough.
Yeah.
Gal, you know, kick him out, not enough. Public stoning, flogging.
Pudding brains, a lot of them.
In stocks, first strike.
First strike.
Then we talk execution.
Yeah, and you know, flagellate with bits of metal at the end. What do you think, you know?
Cat and nine tails.
A bit of salt thrown onto the wounds.
Well, yeah, visual taunting. Yeah, exactly.
Come on. And
you want this snowflake? You want this powder? Cop this!
And just turn Channel 10 into a full-time channel of shame, you know? Go like around the clock.
Be like, you'd have the courts convicting these guys. You'd have the NRL committees throwing these guys out. Because apparently the percentage of participation is quite high, and we've got to do something about it. Greenberg, you're doing nothing.
Nothing, yeah, exactly. They're all sitting on their hands, Chris, and they're all reacting, aren't they?
Totally reacting.
Yeah.
And the market is reacting, Stephen.
Okay.
There are all sorts of consequences. First of all, the NRL's got to get it sorted out when they don't get involved directly, because all the incidents involve even the young kid from Cronulla who was at Fusion Nightclub, which I go back to the time when it was the captain's disco down there at Sharks.
Right.
The policies are inconsistent. You know, the tough on drugs, Gold Coast Titans have given Kevin Proctor 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The soft on drugs, Melbourne Storms, and it was meant to be the lily white culture. Well, the white bit was right.
Well, we
2 weeks for Bromwich only. 2 weeks.
Well, there we were. How wrong were we, Chris? Well, we thought Melbourne was all about robotics and laboratory and discipline and no human emotion. Little we realised how human and flawed they really are, and how bellyache must really be hurting at this point in time.
Yeah, the myth that he's constructed was just a tissue of lies, and it's all come unravelled. And it's hit sponsors.
Yes.
So, for example, Opal Solar are going to stick solid with the Sharks, but they go, we have to renegotiate.
Lovely.
So, you know, I'm getting a whiff of a conspiracy here.
A sniff, are you?
Yeah, a little bit of a snifter. Yeah.
Okay.
Infinity. We're going to sponsor the Roosters and the Sharks.
Right, both teams that were caught up this weekend.
They had a look at their bottom line.
Yes.
There's been a couple of losses they've had to write off. They can't afford it, so suddenly drug scandal wear out.
Chris, now you've got your finger on it.
And I don't know if you saw this week's budget, Stephen.
I did not.
But the federal government has introduced a very, very sensible move to test 5,000 new welfare applicants for drugs. And if they test positive, no welfare for them. You've got to get the public on board.
Mm.
What better than to engineer, a drug scandal to support that position? And you think, hang on, the ABC, they've been involved in this. That's a government body.
You'd be a left-wing troublemaker, wouldn't you, Chris?
I'd be a what, sorry?
A left-wing troublemaker. Wouldn't you?
No, I'm a vanguard of the right wing.
You were trying to be.
I'm desperately trying to get on commercial radio.
Whereas, and I think I might say that prohibition doesn't work at all. Look at the damage. Damien Keogh, what's going to happen to his life now? Public shaming, as we said, you know, he'll be stoned in the marketplace.
Aviator glasses.
Watching Top Gun endlessly in a dark room somewhere. Poor bugger. You know, and there he was sitting pretty high and flying high with the
Cronulla
Sharks.
Chairman of the Sharks?
Does that
mean you've made it?
Yeah, flying high in basketball, flying high with the Sharks.
Didn't you have the chair of the Sharks, Damon Irvine, on the show, and it didn't go downhill after that?
Yes, it did,
As is the fire-up alumni tradition.
And look at the tragedy that prohibition has brought upon, if I dare say so. Not everybody. I mean, I might say that Mark Bosnich has recovered.
Yeah, no, he's got his own show.
Jeff Hugel.
Tremendous. Comeback Commonwealth gold medal winner.
Didn't quite get there, but nearly did. Robbie Williams, he's back on tour, is he?
Solo and with Take That, you can choose.
Mayor Barry, not so good.
I think he might have died, actually, Mayor Barry.
What about
in disgrace.
Ashley Harrison?
Who remembers him? Talk about origin players I struggle to remember.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks, she's on the comeback again.
She was magnificent with the Mac last year.
You saw her?
No, I didn't, actually.
What?
You know, Fleetwood Mac, I mean, I think that...
Overplayed?
Yeah, but Lindsay Buckingham is crazy. But musically interesting, but the Mac, I don't know.
Carmichael Hunt.
Well, he's playing... Well, hang on, Stephen.
Yeah.
Talk about the fallen. Yeah. You know what he's doing? Playing rugby union.
Oh, no, it's a disgrace. See, prohibition doesn't work. What about Dave the Coltrane Taylor?
Back with the Raiders.
Yeah. Benny Barber, of course, he's got his nose to the wind. Where's it going?
He's on Toulon Airport. He's hooked up to his manager saying, who wants me, who wants me?
Yep.
And he's getting crickets down the line because, as Flano says, we've moved on.
Yeah. Andy Gibb didn't do him much good, did it?
No good whatsoever.
Kate Moss?
Yeah.
And finally, Robert Downey Jr. Now, there's a great story.
That's a feel-good story. Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm advocating for you know, drop the prohibition, let people make their own decisions. If they want to live fast and high and fall like, you know, Icarus, then so be it.
And I'm saying execute them.
Execute them, yes. Okay. This is Fire Up. We'll be back in just a moment.
Fire it up! Fire it up! Ready to go!
Took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. Went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun. Took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but a run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Played in the hot joints, drinking the filth. In walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot that woman down. Said Gene. The judge, he smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the Folsom pen. 99 years underneath that ground. I can't forget the day I shot that bad bitch down. Come on, you gotta listen unto me. Lay off that whiskey and let that cocaine be.
Look, we haven't even got to the little savage fella, the last chap, episode number 5, I think it was, in 72 hours of cocaine blitzing.
Again, that word,
sorry,
Stephen.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry.
There's the snowflake issue. Look, snowflake I think you give the under-20s kid a free pass. Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. What else? Yeah. What's the last word then?
Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
If you asked me 7 days ago, is there a drug problem in our game, I would have said no. I might be a little bit naive to the fact that this sort of stuff goes on, but it's not a reflection of our club, that's for sure. But sitting here today, you probably say that there is a problem and it probably needs to be addressed. What the solution is, I don't know. And to be honest, it's not my job to sit here and come up with an answer.
That's Billy Slater. I'm as confused as he is.
Hang on. First of all, I love the fact that there's portentous music playing during that quote, because that actually is just, that's the direct audio from the press conference.
Ah, and Billy brings the music in.
Billy brings his own beat. Yeah. Brings his own beatbox.
Puts the ghetto blast up on top of it.
Says, if I'm talking, I want atmosphere.
I think that was from Spartacus. Was it?
Gladiator.
Yes, Gladiator, yeah.
But I think he basically hasn't played for 2 years. I think it is his job. What's he doing there? He should be coming up with a solution.
And he said, it's not our club, but it is our club.
It is our club. They keep talking about the Melbourne culture. Well, the Melbourne culture's toxic. It's as toxic as the swamp as Cronulla's built on. The whole game is in disrepair and disrepute.
Pull them apart and pack them off, Chris. Put them where Harold Holt. Where's Harold Holt now?
He's consulting to Flanagan as we speak.
Right, okay.
But can we rebuild this game? Can we just get rid of all the current players and start with the under-20s, with the exception of the kid from Cronulla, and start a new competition?
Well, let me just tell you who else has no ideas about this and what to do about it.
Let me know.
Apparently, Benji Marshall, who's played for a number of teams, yours and mine, now plays for, well, I think he plays for Brisbane. I'm not
Redcliffe
sure.
Dolphins.
Yeah. Okay. He's got a segment called Benji's Broncos Banter. Can you say that quickly?
Yep. Benji's Broncos Banter.
Benji's Broncos Banter.
Can you podcast that? Because, geez, we're missing out not living in Brisbane.
And within Benji's Broncos Banter, there's another mini segment called Meet the Marshalls, where his wife, otherwise known as the Wag, Zoe, I believe, she comes on with him to talk about the day's issues and really dissect the big-hitting stuff, as you do in Brisbane.
Are we up against them right now? I mean, are we competing?
I think that's why our audience has just diminished rapidly. It's come on halfway through, and we're in trouble. Now, Zoe, audibly upset and compelled to speak, can I just say something? She says, these cases are the reason why it makes it hard for me to even say I'm married to an NRL player. The shame. The shame.
There was nothing in what's happened in the NRL in the last 25 years that worried her up until last weekend.
Chris, if I could say, the game's been brought into disrepute, and that's what they say. Sturlo, our game, we're losing money. You're talking about Infinity and soap powder companies, etc.
Because all he's concerned about is the reputation of our game, the damage being done to our brand.
Can I just mention, allegedly Johnny Raper running naked down the street in the 1960s test with his bowler hat on?
You can.
Can I mention perhaps Tommy Raudonikis and his Shenanigans.
The Phantom Biter.
Yeah. Bumper Farrell urinating into the trousers of other men at the Dolphin Hotel.
Continuously.
Okay. Corey Norman, what did he do?
Cinema Verite.
Righto. What about Joel Monaghan and a dog?
Peanut Butter.
Okay. Todd Carney.
Bubbler.
Bubbler. Mitchell Pearce.
Bella.
Surely Coda Nasser's done something to bring it into disrepute, surely.
He's hard.
Okay. What about Gaz and Minnie in a taxi?
Fire up.
Right. Surely there's so many of them.
So Zoe Marshall's got it right. Yeah. She should not have been embarrassed by any of that until what's happened in the last week. Yeah. And Sterlo's right because the brand was in good shape.
Good shape.
Because of all those things.
Exactly.
And now these kids have come and made a mistake and we're in tatters.
And that's why Fire Up exists.
Exactly.
Yes.
To try and restore
we're going
to
claim the integrity unit mantle once and for all. And just tell them you got a short memory.
Just send us the keys, Todd Greenberg. We'll fix you up.
Right. Now. She says, it casts a dark shadow, doesn't it?
Oh,
she's
wow.
a wise one, this Zoe.
Wow.
and then Benji chimes in going, after she says it's embarrassing, the thing I don't get is mid-season. How can drugs be an issue mid-season?
Because for Benji it's always been, what, an end-of-season issue?
Well, we now know it's Mad May.
Hello, Tim Simona.
Hello.
Mad Monday, Mad May.
And Chris, drugs know no boundaries.
Well.
They don't look at the calendar.
They don't discriminate,
they
Stephen.
Don't, no.
They target anybody.
So
meet, you and I are at risk.
I got to get on this Meet the Marshals show. This sounds a beauty. Okay. Now, who do we blame, Chris, in this whole drug shenanigan? It's not a drug, is it? It's Whiz Fizz.
Okay. Flake. Okay. Yeah. Rack.
Peruvian. Charlie.
Chuck Norris. Lois Lane.
Lois Lane.
Charlie. how long have we got?
Well, some people are blaming the Melbourne mob, and others are blaming the New Zealand Rugby League.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, for not imposing curfews.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that's good.
So keep them on a leash.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, dance music. I think dance music's got a lot. The Roland 808 drum machine.
Yeah, I've got to blame that.
Social corruption.
Giorgio Moroder.
Man's evil. I've met him, of course. And seriously, right. He just sort of gave me that sort of raise the eyebrow, I can sort you out with a sequencer.
Yes.
Next thing you know,
yeah.
I'd
blame
the Whispers.
Johnny Depp in Blow.
Sure.
Tony Montana.
Glamorising it. Scarface.
Come on, you're Scarface. You know,
who didn't want to be a Colombian drug lord having
exactly.
seen that?
Yeah.
Narcos.
Yeah, take a look at my little friend. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
What about Craig Bellamy?
Well, we've seen what's happened with the Melbourne culture.
Society. Blame society.
Well, no, I think we can all agree it's not a social issue, depending if you're Mal Meninga and Sterlo, who said they should be stoned.
Right.
As in publicly stoned.
Publicly stoned. And unlike ice, which you can make in your backyard if you're a Hell's Angel, you've got to blame customs, surely.
Well, customs are not... Border... What's
border
that
show? Patrol.
Border patrols? Yeah. Seriously.
Forget the Bell's Hotel. Get your act down there.
They're worried about people importing a couple of stuffed dead parrots.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Colombian slurry is just flowing into our national borders.
Straight across the Pacific.
Every time I
untouched.
See a, every time I see a fishing trawler in Sydney Harbour, I go, oh, that
Hang
can't be right.
There
hasn't been fish in Sydney Harbour since the 60s.
Yeah, what's it say? It's like Bogota. Dogs. You've got to blame dogs.
Well, I mean, I can't believe...
They're man's best friend. They're not man's best friend.
I can't believe they're allowing themselves to be co-opted into this.
Exactly.
The dog should have said, I'm not going into Bell's Hotel. It's un-Australian.
Yes, okay. I blame the Christian right that live at Manly.
Casino.
Surely,
Mike.
Surely.
Look, the government conspiracy theory, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's fact.
Yeah.
This is fact.
You might notice that none of these busts, they always happen in Cronulla, always happen in the east, now Woolloomooloo, which is still east, I suppose. Now, southwest, of course, is the doomed town of Sydney. You know, that's where it all starts, of course. I even think Katoomba gets a bad rap occasion. Central Coast trouble never happens in Manly.
No.
Never happens in Manly.
And what politicians reside in that particular area.
And yet we know that one in four do it.
Well, statistically.
Or one in three, I think it is. I think it's climbing.
Yeah, and 6% of the NRL are on first strike, apparently.
Right. And you know, my big shame, of course, is that the rep round was ruined.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to confess something.
No. Well, yes, I was.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was nominated.
You were nominated?
Yeah.
Man of the match.
Mudgy man of the match, no less.
Mudgy man of the match for your tremendous musical accompaniment of the City versus Country
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Transformed
what
it.
What sort of press did that get?
Well, you know, I heard commentators on other stations singing your praises.
Well,
you're in the Herald today, Stephen, singing your praises. But no one knows.
No, I've got a piece of advice to all DJs out there. Achy, breaky heart.
Ah.
You can't go past it.
You know
seriously.
What? You know, Billy Ray
wants
to reduce his name to just Cyrus.
Yes, well, he got a new haircut, didn't he?
Yeah, so instead of Billy Ray Cyrus and Miley Cyrus, we now just have Miley and Cyrus.
Miley and Cyrus.
It's not really clear, is it?
Well, it's easy to remember, isn't it?
Well, it's shorter.
Okay. Look, anything else happening in rugby league this week, Chris? given that wraparound was ruined so poorly.
Not really. I mean, you know, Cameron Smith blamed his management company on tweeting that he's the GOAT, the greatest of all time, after he broke the goal-kicking record.
Sorry. His Twitter, his handle said he was the greatest of all time.
That's right. President GOAT.
Man, the hubris.
It's unbelievable.
He's going to be turned into a big bag of salt. He's going to be struck down by lightning soon, isn't he?
I'm almost losing faith in the West Tigers when Jamal Idris fronts up for Indigenous Round, because it is Indigenous Round, and let's hope we're talking about the footy next week.
Right.
And they say, how's the hammy? And he goes, it's great. I'm ready to go for Friday.
Yes.
Against the Rabbits tonight. He'd already done his hammy his ACL last Saturday's out. So I don't trust what they're saying about JT's shoulder anymore. Yeah. Talk about integrity. The game's in
You really
retreat.
Know how to pull the veil apart, don't you, Chris, and look behind it.
I try.
See what's there.
Because I'm part of the cultural zeitgeist, and given that we're heading to a wrap, can I plug Vivid?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, because, you know...
I don't do it.
You don't do it, no. Because that would be probably, I don't know...
Conflict of interest.
It would be against the integrity of the sport and the code and the medium.
It would bring rugby league into disrepute.
But Jay Katz and Miss Death, who used to do, I think it was the Naked City on
FBI. They did,
FBI.
Saturday mornings, yeah.
They're involved in in Vivid's oeuvre this year. They're doing cult cinema.
With an S.
S-I-N-N-A.
You see, Vivid knows how to celebrate bohemian culture.
Yeah,
what was great about King's Cross?
Diversity.
And I'm not talking about Jared Hayne getting shot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think that is part of it.
I think it is.
I think it's Lenny McPherson.
The Salah family, the Ibrahim family.
That's right.
Oh, we go back to Abe Saffron.
Candy's apartment.
The whole business.
Beautiful.
It's great.
Lay girls.
Look, while you're there, King's Cross says, welcome to King's Cross at the King's Cross Hotel, which will be a musical night, and rugby league players are welcome. Hidden Sydney, which is an immersive journey through a number of rooms telling the story about colourful Sydney identities. I think there's Only Heaven Knows, which is a musical based upon the queer culture back in the day.
In the 50s years. And 60s. Yes, at the Hayes Theatre, and they're kicking goals at the Hayes Theatre. I went and saw Big Fish there last weekend.
Did you?
Very sweet.
Wow.
Musical rendition of the Tim Burton movie.
Wow. So check that out.
And Xanadu. I saw Xanadu. Love that.
Okay, so that's all part of Vivid King's Cross.
Yeah, but cult cinema, there'll be screening with commentary and interviews, the likes of classics like Wake and Fright, They're a Weird Mob.
Yeah.
Roger Ward, the great Australian actor, will be there back-to-back on the screenings of The Set and The Man from Hong Kong.
Yes,
and
The Man from Hong Kong.
Whenever I think of Man from Hong Kong, I think of George Lazenby.
Yes, you do.
And I think I'm targeting Friday the 16th of June for the screening of Journey Among Women, because that basically is my life story. Tickets, vividsydney.com.
Yes. I hope you've got rid of your dog.
The dog's gone.
Fire up. Back next week.
Bye now.
See ya.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!